This morning's reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. The title on it is Dead to Sin and Alive to God. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have a dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
And our gospel lesson this morning comes from the book of St. Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 to 39. Hear the word of the Lord. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. And the head of the house has been called Beelzebub. How much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges men before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man and enemies will be members of his own household. Anyone who loves his father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will find it for my sake. Here endeth the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God. Would you bow your heads now and pray with me? O Lord, my God, my rock, my redeemer, I praise you once again for the opportunity to stand in this your church, in this your pulpit, to have read your sacred scriptures, and now, O Lord, to share my testimony. Amen. I always love when Linda comes up to do the children's sermon because she always does half my work, which is wonderful. And we don't even plan this. It's a God thing. But the passage that I read to you from Matthew, the verses that Linda read to the children during the children's story, isn't that one of the most reassuring passages that we have in Scripture about God's love for us and God's care for us? We hear, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet one does not fall outside the Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now, as I was looking at myself in the mirror, I remember some of those hairs in my head are getting shorter and not there. But still, God knows every little hair on our head. And he says, do not be afraid, because aren't you worth more than them? I love this imagery of God focusing his eyes on the sparrow. And I want to kind of honor our dear friend Dave Brownfield today by sharing a poem. And this is something David would do. But this poem said, the robin to the sparrow, I'd really like to know why these anxious human creatures rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, I guess that it must be that they have no such father as cares for you and me. What a beautiful, beautiful little poem. You know, sparrows are humble birds. In biblical days, they were considered food, or people at that time could offer them as sacrifice, especially if you were poor and couldn't afford a lamb or a goat or a bull. But you could sacrifice sparrows. We get that idea of two for a penny. And many even say that you couldn't even get a copper coin for even two, let alone a million sparrows. Now, I guess until I really, really studied this scripture, I used to think sparrows were just something so special. But in my studies of ornithology, I found that sparrows are basically worthless birds. They get dirty easy. They get fleas easy. And they reproduce like crazy. But they have no song. They're not colorful. They're not even pretty. And they're probably one of the most populated birds on the earth. They're scavengers for food. Yet Jesus likens them to God's watchfulness. You know, we hear in Scripture so much about eagles. Psalm 91 about God will raise you up on like eagle's wings, soar you on to the breath of God. We hear about eagles, and Linda, boy, you were just on it with me today. I was like, wow, how am I going to make this different from what she said? But it's interesting because, you know, people in this nature world count the eagles because they're endangered. 35,000, I think, there are in the United States and Canada. But God doesn't mention those eagles. He mentions those sparrows that they're just millions of. And Jesus says that to us is that, you know, if God can care for the tiny sparrow, how much more does he love you? And that's an amazing teaching, that God can even see a sparrow when it falls.
And Jesus is saying, whatever trial we may be going through, God is aware and God cares. It's an amazing, amazing teaching. You know, one of the things that the people who deal with chronic illness, whether it's mental, physical, one of the things that I hear so much is, why has God abandoned me? And God really hasn't abandoned, because whatever trial we're going through, God is aware and God does care. And I guess this passage opens up a response to that that we're going to get through today. But first, Jesus starts by saying those words, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Who cares enough to count that sparrow? God does. You know, how many of you out here, be honest, you don't have to raise your hand, are worriers? Right here. What are some of the things that we worry about? Anybody? Things that we worry about. Our children, especially when they have suspended licenses. All right. Anyone else? What are some of the things we worry about? Finances. Our country, absolutely. Health.
Future.
Oh, there's probably so many more that we worry about. You know, I spend a lot of times, Italians sometimes get this image to people that, oh, Italians are carefree, you know, and they're always having a good time. I'm going to tell you, we're just the opposite. We're always uptight. We're always worrying about something. We're always fretting about something. It's part of our nature, but don't tell anybody I told you. But I have to admit to you that in my life, I've learned to worry about the littlest things. And then I met Jesus Christ. And then he came into my presence and I was saved. And all of a sudden, those things that overwhelmed me, those things that would keep me up at night, all of a sudden came into perspective. And I knew that my Lord and my Master was watching me. How many of you remember the movie in 1980? There was a movie called Airplane, 1980. Remember that movie? It's interesting because I was watching a video clip of that. And on this, the plane is about to take off. And the main character, Ted Stryker, is sitting near an elderly person, and he is nervous, and he is fidgeting, and he is getting just all worrisome and fidgety and all that. And she looks over at him, and she's thinking, this is his first time on an airplane. And so she says to him, she says, is this your first time? And he says, no, I've been nervous a lot of times. While we're on airport stories, in an airport one day, a man was waiting for his flight to get home to his family. He'd been on a business trip, and they got in line to board the plane, and all of a sudden they came on and said, we're going to have to postpone this. There's bad weather, and we're having some mechanical issues on the plane. Has anyone ever been going on a flight when that was about to happen? Yeah, that's a nerve-wracking thing. Well, it was interesting because as the guy paced up and down the terminal, he realized it was going to be a couple hours. And he thought, well, I'll get something to eat. And as he was going down inside of the airport, he saw this sign and this machine about travel insurance and accidental life insurance. And the sign said this, it said, you can get $100,000 coverage for just $3. And as he looked outside, he thought, you know, he said, that just might be a good investment for me to do. And as he did it, you could tell that there was some worry in his mind. And he was trying to be brave, but he buys this, and he has this with him now. Well, the restaurant that he goes to in the airport is a Chinese restaurant. And at the end of the meal at a Chinese restaurant, what do you usually get? A fortune cookie. And he opens this fortune cookie, and he looks scared to death because his fortune says this: your recent investment will pay big dividends. Now, isn't that something to worry about? My friends, what or who can free us from that baggage of fear? And that's Jesus Christ. Even some of the biggest names in medicine, Dr. Charles Mayo, founder of the Mayo Clinic, was a chief contributor, and he says that worry in our lives can contribute to depression and breakdowns and high blood pressure and heart attack and stress that kills. And Mayo was known to say this, he says, I've never seen a person die from hard work, but I've seen a lot of people die from worry. And you know, I think it's true. We all know it. We all know what worry can do in our hearts and our souls and our bodies. And Christ wants to free us from all this. He wants to free us from whatever it is that we are fearing. And he does it by, in this passage, that reminds us that we have a loving Father that's always with us, who's mindful of our needs, and who's willing to grant us his peace and his joy. His eye is on the sparrow. He has an intimate knowledge of the very hairs on our head. And when we think we're alone, there is one who is closer to us than the air we breathe. There is the one who knows our needs. There is the one who cares about us and will never abandon his children. And so such an awareness about the unconditional love of God should give us an enormous sense of freedom about living lives. The gospel message that we heard today is we need not fear neither life nor death, but live faith filled with the knowledge of God's love for us in his presence. And the secret to doing that is a rock-solid faith that God will never forsake us. You know, in the Gospel of Matthew, we also hear that if we have faith as great as a small, tiny mustard seed, we can move mountains. And such faith is not earned, but it's a gift from God, our Heavenly Father. Now, we hear sometimes that the best things in life are free. There's a proverb that says that. You can't put a price on them. Yet there's a lot of things in life that we have to earn. Sometimes maybe to have a friend, we have to be a friend. To have physical health and wellness, we have to kind of monitor maybe the way we eat or the exercise that we're doing and following up with a doctor. Those are all part of becoming what we can do to a whole person. But faith is not like that. The only way to receive faith is to open up to it. In the scriptures, there's a story of a man who had a son with a chronic condition, convulsions, maybe comparable to today's epilepsy. And Jesus encounters this man and his son, and he says to the man, "How long has this been happening?" And the father says, his whole life. And the father requests Jesus to heal his son. And Jesus says these words, "All things are possible for one who believes." And the father says this. He cries out to Jesus and he says, "I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief." Maybe that needs to be our prayer. I believe, and Lord, help me through those times that I don't believe. Maybe that is our prayer when our lives go in turmoil. Maybe that should be our prayer when fear comes to you during the night. Maybe that should be our prayer when you become overwhelmed with the future. Maybe that should be our prayer when we're startled by things that just come out of the blue and broadside us. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You know, there was a pastor in Southern California that lived in an area called Capistrano. And he wrote this book, and in his book he was talking about this passage that we read today. And he was talking about the swallows that would come to Capistrano, and he said this. He said, do you know they come on March the 19th, and they leave on October the 23rd. Every year, even during a leap year, they come on the 19th of March and leave on the 23rd of October. It never varies. And he says this, is that a coincidence? Is that nature? Or is that the meticulous care of the love of God? And if God can schedule things like that, and God can care for the swallows and the sparrows, imagine what He can do for us. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them falls to the ground outside of our Father's care, and our hair on our heads are numbered. So do not be afraid. Good advice, my friend. Believe and don't be afraid. I'd like to close today with the song, His Eye is on the Sparrow. And I hope as you hear the words of this beautiful song, that you'll know that God loves you, God cares for you, that God is with you no matter what is going on in your life, and that you can trust that, and that He will never, ever leave you orphaned. His eye is on the sparrow.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my fortress, a constant friend is He. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Sing with me.
I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your hearts be troubled, His tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. I draw the closer to Him, but one step may I see, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he set me free, for his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know me.
Let's bow our heads. God, you are so good. Lord, we believe in you. Help us in our times of unbelief. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Jesus, for your message.